in some of the wildest and craziest true happenings in the life of a private investigator and radio personality. Want to turn your bad mood into a good mood? There's hardback versions for $15 and audio and e-versions for just $10. Check out my book of 50 short and hilarious stories online at badmoodgoodmood.com.
Oh, hey, this is Tom from Salt and Smoke. Is Pauly Shore ever eaten at your restaurant?
No.
Ew.
No. Oh, God, no. No.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, has he ever eaten at your restaurant twice?
Excuse me.
It's so embarrassing. Salt and Smoke. Now, featuring the Hamptons.
There are those who've had tax troubles with the IRS and those who will have tax troubles with the IRS. There are those who would go to Lance Drury Law Firm and get the best advice possible. And there are those who will be at the mercy of the IRS. I encourage you to do what I did. I called Lance Drury. Within days, he was laying out a plan that was going to satisfy the IRS and save me a lot of money. Lance Drury's expertise is built on decades of experience. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. So when battling the IRS, don't do it by yourself. Make sure you get the best in the business on your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
Spiro's is bringing class and relaxation back to New Year's Eve, along with fun and the best food. Big events and bars have parking issues, packing people in like cattle, and not to mention the subpar food. Not at Spiro's in St. Charles, where they are only taking a limited number of reservations, a number that's much less than the restaurant holds. Features include premium seating, half price on all cocktails, live entertainment, noisemakers and champagne at midnight, plus the best food in the STL. The outdoor stone Greek oven will be cooking the great food, and you can enjoy your favorites like clam bakes, stuffed pork chops, and so many others. Call today because Spiro's is not jamming people in. They want you and your friends to enjoy great food, ample space, and easy parking. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital. Call today to make your reservation at 636-916-1454.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Hello, testing.
Can you hear yourself?
Yeah, I'm trying somebody else. Somebody left some really expensive headphones in here. We don't know who they belong to, but boy, are they comfortable. It's like I got two big marshmallows on my ear. They're really comfortable. Tim, try these. They're really comfortable.
All right.
I'm not kidding. Here. Excuse us, everybody. There's the softest headphones I've ever put on.
Oh.
Put these other pieces of crap back on.
As he picks them up.
I hate these headphones.
And he...
I don't even know why I use them.
Unplugs his headphones and plugs the other ones in.
Damn, oh. They're ready. Aren't those comfortable? Aren't they comfortable?
They are. They are, but they sound...
Muddled.
They sound muddy. A little like a little cavemanish, a little echoish.
I think they're a little muddy.
Yeah.
Cavemanish.
So whoever owns them, you come back in. We're not going to steal them. We thought about it, but we're not going to do it. Folks, it's time to talk about TVs and movies, and this segment is brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. It's the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues.
Dan, whoa, Nelly, hello.
No comment, Dan, when I say St. Louis Blues. Whoa. And, of course, you can find out what the heck?
What is that?
Oh. Somebody's headphones are going a little haywire there.
Now, that was Tim.
Well, no, now they're...
Is that Buff? Is that you?
Where's your headphones?
No, right, his earbuds. Hold on, everybody. This is highly technical stuff. Now it's gone. Now it's gone.
I have no idea.
So did you unplug your headphones?
It was Tim's fault.
Everybody. Oh, no. I plugged them in about 5 minutes ago.
It was Tim. It was all Tim.
Well, it happened right when I was taking these huge soft headphones out of the jack. And
the marshmallow headphones.
I never unplugged mine, though. I never unplugged mine.
Oh, well, it's over.
Whatever. He's got some marshmallow headphones on his head. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
No.
No, you mean Bill that's Clinton's
what,
clap?
No, that's for when somebody's in trouble. That didn't go over well, music, that they were going to use for me.
Oh, no, I don't have that. Oh, Dan plays
I have to get that up.
No, you're not going to play it for yourself.
Yeah, Dan's the one who does that.
No, I get Remember? It up.
I'm sorry, folks. This whole show is just completely falling apart. Dan Buff is brought to you by Window World. It is the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. If you'd like to know more about this window and maybe why it is the biggest selling window in the country, go to windowworldstlouis.com. Now could we have Mr. Buff's theme music?
Let's all there go to the lobby.
There it is. We got a little
Let's
out of order.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you like watching TV or going to the movies, and who doesn't like one or both of those things, give it up, please, for Dan Buffa.
Hey. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. I saved this for today because I knew you were coming in today. Obviously, it's Tuesday. The Mule with Clint Eastwood.
Guess
I saw
what?
It over the weekend.
Guess what? I just left The Mule about 20 minutes ago.
Okay, so you have just
it's
seen
fresh.
It.
It's on the mind.
All right, 1 to 4 ARDs. Go ahead right now out of the way. How many? And then we'll talk about it.
Over 3, but under 4. I really enjoy it.
I agree. 3.5. Give them 3.5 ARDs.
All right, Dan. All right, Dan. All right, Dan. All right.
All right, let me put it this way. If you like Gran Torino, you'll like this.
This is probably his. I think he's better in this than he was in Gran Torino, but he's not playing a complete Clint Eastwood character.
No, this is a true story.
There's
he's
a
playing
little, yeah, he's playing Earl Stone, who in real life is Leo Sharp. He was a 90-year-old war veteran who was a mule for the Mexican drug cartel in El Paso, Texas, is where he drives through.
Sounds right.
Yeah, he did 12 runs. I mean, I'm watching this. I didn't read the article. It's based on an article in The New Yorker, and it was directed by Clint Eastwood himself. And it was really rushed. People were asking me why it wasn't really considered for Oscars. And I can tell you right now, it's not an Oscar film.
No, it's not. But it's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's not even that unpredictable. You kind of sort of know what problem
you
happens.
Do, yeah.
But it's still an interesting character study and a good story.
It's based on, correction for me, it's based on a New York Times article called The Sinaloa Cartel's 90-Year-Old Drug Mule by Nick Scheck, who wrote the screenplay. And co-stars Bradley Cooper, who I thought was really good, in a small role, Michael Pena.
Cooper could have been anybody. He didn't make the movie.
He could have been anybody that played that part. I think he wanted to do it because being directed by Eastwood, American Sniper, like, I get to share scenes with Eastwood. And they have a couple really good scenes, one in the middle and one towards the end.
And the other thing I think is smart, I think it draws in audience that it wouldn't normally draw in. For example, women who love Bradley Cooper. They wouldn't
A Star is Born. They'll love it.
Yes, they wouldn't go see this movie if Bradley Cooper
They wouldn't. It. But this is probably, I mean, you understand, Clint Eastwood does not work that much anymore. The last leading role he had was probably Trouble with the Curve. It was a baseball movie. It was okay. He played an aging scout who was kind of on the way out, but it wasn't a great script. This one, I think, I mean, you have a guy who's transporting drugs across the country and listening to Dean Martin, even though he's being tailed by a couple guys with guns and people are shoving guns in his face, and he's just kind of, he's so cool in the situation.
There are a handful of people who are very successful actors who aren't great actors. I don't think Clint Eastwood is a great actor. He doesn't stretch. Take Vice with the Christian Bale. You wouldn't even know that's Christian Bale.
No.
Take the Winston
Darkest
Church.
Hour with Gary
Thank
Oldman.
You, Gary Oldman. Clint Eastwood is not that guy. He's Clint Eastwood and everything.
Not.
Dirty Harry. He's got that, you know.
But I think that in these kind of roles, he just, when he's able to play this old, you know, he's mad about his life. Of course, in this movie, he's, you know, his family hates him because he wasn't around. He chose to kind of be on the road and work. He's more closer to flowers than he is to human beings in this movie. And when he has to make some money, he does it. And I like the way, Frank, in this movie that, you know, there's part of the time he's kind of remorseful about that. And then there's times where he just loves that he's getting to have this time at 90 years old to have all this money. I like that he wasn't just this one speed. He had multiple speeds. And I think that's that in most movies, they'll make him, most movies wouldn't have made him like remorseful the whole time. In this movie, he's a little bit of everything. He's kind of enjoying it, but he knows what he's doing is wrong and he knows he's going to pay a price.
In the end of the movie, when the movie comes to the final scene, there's a song that starts playing. Do you know the song? Did you pay attention to the song?
It's Toby Keith singing the song?
It is Toby
Keith. But I didn't know the name
of the song.
It's called
Don't Let the Old Man In. And here's what it's about. I went and looked up an interview with Toby Keith. And here's what happened. Folks, if you go see The Mule, well, you won't get up and leave. It's not like one of those things where way into the credits something happens.
It starts
at the last scene. You'll hear this song called Don't Let the Old Man In. And it's a slow ballad. Toby Keith played golf with Clint Eastwood, and Eastwood's 88. And Toby Keith asked him something about, wow, how do you do it? Surely you're ready to just kind of quit and retire. And Clint said, no, next week start shooting the new movie. And he starts telling him that next week we start shooting this mule, the movie. And Toby Keith said, how do you do it? At 88, how do you do this? And he said, well, I know he's knocking on the door. I just don't let the old man in. It's like there's an old man trying to get inside him. Toby Keith leaves the golf thing, goes and sits down and writes, "Don't let the old man in." Limey, could you pull up on "Don't let the old man"? I'll play you just the first few lines of this. It's a great song for anybody who's getting older.
It fits the movie really well too.
Perfectly, because basically what Eastwood said to him was, "I hold the age thing at bay. I know he's knocking on the door, but I just don't let the old man in." This is really a poignant meaning. Here, this is Toby Keith.
Don't let the old man in. I won't live it some more. And leave it up to him.
He's got a good voice, too. Really good voice.
He's knocking on my door.
And I knew all of my life that someday it would end.
Yeah, he's getting close to the end. This is great.
Get up and go outside. Don't let the old man.
Now, maybe one more line, because I think this is a great next couple lines here.
Many moons I have lived, my body's withered and worn. Ask yourself, how would you be if you didn't know the day you were born?
All right, stop it right there. That's one of the greatest lines I've ever heard in a song. Ask yourself how old you'd be if you didn't know the day you were born. Think about that.
Yeah.
If you had no idea how old you were, how old would you think you'd be? And that says a lot about state of mind.
Well, and also about what he's done in his life. And Earl Stone, he measures his life on what he's done and what he hasn't done. And when he does this for the cartel, he thinks that he's doing something for his family. He's doing something for himself. And I think that he kind of gets that second wind late in his life. Again, during this movie, he is doing runs for the cartel, very dangerous. He is getting guns shoved in his face, but he just has this like almost effervescent life about him that kind of keeps him protected.
It's just like he just sort of refuses to acknowledge what
he's doing. He doesn't, yeah.
And here's the thing, in the movie, and this is the true story, this guy's running cocaine, lots of kilos of cocaine.
Oh,
and his first couple of runs, they put these duffel bags in his trunk. He doesn't know what they are.
No.
And he said, what am I hauling? They're going to worry about it. Here's where you're supposed to be. Here's a burner phone. Get rid of it when you're done. And on about the third run, he pulls over, goes back and looks in the back of the truck, opens the bag and says, O-S-H. He knows he's carrying cocaine now.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop him. He keeps doing it because the money is so good.
The money, it gets bigger and bigger. He starts doing a couple bags, and then they're putting like six bags in the back of his trunk.
Right, we've told him enough.
But
we've told him too much.
I'll tell you what, if you like Clint Eastwood, even if you don't like it, I think if you just like a good, true story that's not, and again, I interviewed Jason Hall, who wrote American Sniper, I said, what was it about Clint Eastwood's directing style that was so good? He's like, he just wants to direct the truth. He wants to tell the truth. There's guys like Spielberg that want to do the emotion. Scorsese wants to do a little bit of both, but Eastwood just wants to tell a story.
How old would you be if you didn't know the day you were born? Wow, that to me, and I tried to answer that question, and I think I would say 50. Forget physical stuff, just in your head. I think I'd be 50.
I think with getting married at a young age like I did and working, I think I'd say I was about 40.
How old are you?
I'm 36.
How old were you when you got married?
What's up?
How old when you got married? How old?
I got married when I was, 23.
It's not young. I got married when I was 21.
There you go.
Beat you.
Congratulations.
All right, 3.5 ARDs. What's next? Oh, quickly, TV. I'm still into Escape at Dannemora.
It's good.
I watched most of the documentary on Oxygen about that escape. Yeah. It's getting really good. It's on Showtime for those of you who want to.
It's got two episodes left.
I'll be there Sunday night.
But I want to say, I just posted an article about Ray Donovan, which I think is having one of its best seasons. And I want to say something about Sunday's episode.
Lost their way. I'm telling you, I didn't like it.
I really like it. And this is why I do. You know, this season, it's in its sixth season, and it's been about, you know, you can cruise on the idea that it's about a fixer who gets into, you know, gets a lot of trouble, solves problems. But I like when they're peeling back the layers of Ray Donovan and how the trauma in his past with abuse and how he's got these violent tendencies, how he's putting himself away from his family.
Tim, do you watch Ray Donovan?
I do.
Did you think they lost their way Sunday night?
I thought the show.
I love it.
I thought the show jumped half a shark Sunday.
I do. Thank you.
No, there's so much they can go. I mean, he is. I mean, there were so many scenes in Sunday's episode where his daughter tells him he wants nothing to do with him. Lena tells him. And if you do all this stuff for your family, again, this is a guy who tells himself he's doing this for his family, but also is doing this because he hates himself. It's self-loathing is what Ray Donovan suffers from.
I'm going to give you a little broadcast education. I think we talk too much about Ray Donovan. We talk about him every week.
But it's a great show.
Most people listening don't watch Ray Donovan.
They should.
So to sum it up.
But what's it on?
Showtime.
If you don't have premium channels, you can't watch it.
Yeah.
But you should.
Well, but you can't make people buy things they can't afford.
I'd say if we're telling them two shows to watch, that would make me want to sign up. We're telling you to watch Ray Donovan and Escape at
Dinner. I would agree. If it's an HBO Showtime, you don't know if you want to buy a premium package.
Now,
I'd say, for those
Showtime,
two, yes, it would be.
But I think that what they're doing, David Hollander took over in season three. I think they're just trying to
Who's David Hollander?
He is the showrunner. He does all the, he oversees the scripts, the production.
Okay. Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Nobody cares about that guy. You're a reviewer.
Can
you
am
get
going
deep into nobody
I
knows
do.
David, whatever his name is. They don't know.
I'm an educator.
They don't care
though.
If he took over. All they want to know is a good show.
They're
going to
be educated.
No, they're going to be just not
be educated.
I'm telling you. No, do you guys know who David what's his name? Hollander?
Now he does.
No, but they didn't before.
I did not know.
Do you care that
people.
He took over the show as the runner or
whatever? I'm going to die on this hill of educating people about
stuff. We're going to educate you about radio.
I stay awake at night and I see something on TV and I say, who directed that?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Who was the boom operator?
Who's
on
the
that?
Showrunner on that?
Oh, boom operator.
All right, what else?
Who's
what
the grip?
David Hollander.
Off of Donovan. What else do you have?
Let's see.
There's not much in the theater right now, is there?
You know,
not new.
A lot of stuff came. I've actually reviewed. This is the problem when I come on this show. I got to pick two movies, and I reviewed seven different movies the last week, but one that's coming out Friday is big. It's called Aquaman.
Dan, don't worry about the call. It's coming in.
Oh.
They may have a good movie or TV suggestion, but don't worry about it. That's not your job. Oh, yeah, it is. Go ahead.
Aquaman comes out Friday. This is DC Comics' latest movie. And
As an older person, I'm sick of the whole DC Marvel thing. It's like every other movie is a comic book thing.
Save you. Marvel has the leg up. They produce better movies, better scripts, just better movies that can rewatchable. DC produces overlong, morose, kind of sad movies. And this movie is probably the first fun DC movie. It's about, and again, making a movie about Aquaman, a guy who talks and communicates with fish. Jason Momoa, who, if anybody watched Game of Thrones, was Drago on Game of Thrones. It's a good movie. I'm going to do my best to explain this film. It has Dolph Lundgren. It has Amber Heard. But the biggest thing to take away from it is that it is a funny, lighthearted DC movie. And if anybody's on the fence, there's people that are going to go see it no matter what. People that love Batman, Superman, they're going to go watch it.
I feel like as somebody who doesn't know these characters.
I know. This sounds like a foreign language.
Yeah, but why go? I don't know who these people are.
It's probably best you go into it with no memory of a DC film. Like, you know, you haven't watched Batman versus Superman, Justice League. You're probably best suited to
watch this
movie.
Who won that fight, Batman versus Superman?
Well,
who won?
If it was realistic, Superman, because he's an alien, he can cut Batman in half. But they kind of just came to a truce and became partners, which was kind of like, you know, again, Lima, you probably agree that if Superman was really mad, he could probably just tear Batman in half because he's superhuman.
Yeah.
I will say Batman put up a pretty good fight for being a dude with no powers, but obviously, yes, Superman would have won. But it was kind of cheesy.
The kryptonite spear was kind of cool.
I do a perfect Christian Bale as Batman.
You do? Oh.
Yeah. I'm Batman.
There you go. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Don't you ever want to go... Don't you want to go to a Starbucks drive-thru and go, I love a mochaccino latte.
No.
Where's Rachel?
No, because I don't go to Starbucks.
Oh, that's
I don't
bad.
Get Starbucks.
You don't get Bucks to the Star?
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
You know what Starbucks did Sunday?
Oh.
They had a they had a buy one, get one free latte. I guess you had to hear it on radio or see an ad or whatever.
There's always a catch, though.
So I was shopping with a friend of mine Sunday, and we went to the drive-thru Starbucks afterward, and I ordered two $5.38 lattes. That'd be $10.87, whatever. You get to the window, a guy goes, that'd be $5.38. I said, no, you got the wrong order. He goes, no, that'd be $5.38. I said, what? He goes, yeah, it's buy one, get one free day. He goes, we're not supposed to tell you. We're supposed to make you ask for it, but I tell everybody anyway.
He said, I'll take four.
Good for him.
Exactly. But, I mean, I thought that was pretty cool that he did
what
that.
What do you drink at Starbucks? What do you order?
The only thing I can stand, because I think their coffee's too dark and it's too tarry.
It is. Agreed. It's horrible.
It is. There's a drink there called a vanilla latte.
That's what my wife gets. She gets the vanilla grande soy, something like that. I have to write it down if I'm going
to
get it for her.
You have to understand, I'm a coffee fanatic. I drink it all the time, but their coffee is roasted. It's over roasted. It's burnt.
Thank you. Bitter.
But the one thing that my dad and I get, we get a flat white because it's actually a good, strong, it's a stronger version of a latte with extra espresso.
See, I think you have to go to some college to learn how to know what the orders are. It's grande, latte, soy, vanilla, latte, chocolate, mocha, choca, loca, bada, dada. What the hell?
Their sizes are all wrong. What was the Paul Rudd movie, Role Models, where he basically.
Oh, my goodness.
He goes,
that was funny.
He goes, you're stupid in three languages because tall is large, grande is large, and venti actually means 20. Yeah. Congratulations,
so venti,
you're stupid
is
in three
venti bigger than
they just go by the ounces. Like
they go by the ounces. Just say small, medium, large,
they
extra
can.
Large. What
they
the
can't.
Heck?
They can't.
I don't know what any of that means.
Because they're just trying to be different.
They're trying to be fancy.
King. Yeah. No.
That's what Burger King does. That's how their coffee is.
But they do have a couple good drinks. I mean, the flat white is kind of like it's a very strong drink. But they're Americanos.
It's interesting.
Good too.
My wife loves this soy venti latte.
I can't do soy.
She loves it, and she hates coffee. She has never had a cup
she
of coffee in her life.
Never.
She's never had a cup of coffee.
I love coffee.
How could she like this? I don't know.
But again, Christian Bale and
I'm Batman.
I want him to go through the Starbucks drive. That would be a great Saturday Night Live skit. You know, he's coming out. I'm going to review that next, I guess, two weeks. Vice.
That looks good.
If he ever hosts Saturday Night Live, he has to go through a Starbucks and go, "Is I'm Batman," and just do the whole order, a very long order. Soy, mochaccino, non-fat. It's just so good. But that movie comes out next week. But Aquaman, it's hard to sell. If you're a DC fan, you're going to be very reluctant to watch this movie because they've done so many bad movies. But this
Who's
one.
Who's the superhero who smells so good? Aquafelva, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. That is one of the aftershaves that actually smells like a man.
Oh, my goodness.
I like it.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Are you ready for ARDs for this Aquaman, or are we just keep talking about it?
No, I mean, it's good. And Jason Momoa, who people will know from Game of Thrones, he's a larger-than-life character. I think the one thing that James Wan did here, I think he watched every DC film from the past 10 years and said, you know what, they're always so serious.
But who is he, Jason, the director?
He is the director. He did Furious 7, he did The Conjuring. And he's
Jason Momoa?
James Wan is a director. The star is Jason Momoa. He is a huge, larger-than-life star, and he makes
this
movie.
He's not the guy who stutters when he cuts the grass. He's not Jason Lawn Momoa.
Oh. I knew it. I knew it was coming.
Just keep going downhill.
Thanks, everybody.
You can't stop it.
Thank you. The snowball's done rolling downhill.
I can't stop it. Tim, you just wait till it gets to the bottom and pick it back up.
Oh.
What's next?
I'm going to do another comic book movie. You ready, Frank?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, go ahead.
Limey, were you excited about Spider-Verse? Into the Spider-Verse. I watched this last week. It is number one at the box office.
Tim, do you watch these movies? I mean, you're into this comic. Am I the only one?
Rhymes with never.
Okay, thank you. I don't feel so bad.
This is an animated Spider-Man movie,
mm-hmm.
and it brings about the idea, the theory, that there are multiple Spider-Men, thankfully. Not
what?
Tobey Maguire.
There was this big comic book series where basically like all the Spider-Mans from different realities kind of hung out and went on adventures, and that's what this movie
is
about.
This is of no interest to me. I mean, just none.
I know.
That doesn't even appeal to me, what you just said.
I think I'm going to go and see it once the crowds have died down.
It is a very fun movie. And again, this is a movie for people who have never seen a Spider-Man film before. Frank, you can enjoy this movie. You don't have to watch one Spider-Man movie.
I saw one, and it was... who's the guy who played the original?
Tobey
Maguire.
Tobey Maguire.
I went to see that. You so, but I actually went to see it and sort of enjoyed it because it was about, okay, he got bitten or something, and next thing you know, he's a spider and he spins a web. And
in this movie, it basically presents the idea that there's alternate dimensions and different worlds where an older Spider-Man, even like Nicolas Cage has a voice in this movie. He plays an older, more detective Spider-Man. And this one follows a kid, Miles Morales, who becomes Spider-Man. He kind of gets help from an older Peter Parker.
Peter Parker is the, like, Batman has a real name.
Yeah. Peter Parker.
What's Batman's real name?
Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne. Okay. And then Superman was the
Clark Kent.
So Peter Parker is the young.
But this one is based off Miles Morales. This is basically the young kid that gets help from Peter Parker on how to be Spider-Man. And what I liked about this movie was, again, it's animation, but it's a different kind of animation. It's like it's 3G and 2D. It's combined. It's visually stunning. And I think even if you don't like comic books, I think you can enjoy this. You can take the kids to this one. It's a very kid-friendly movie. And guess who voices the villain, Frank? A guy that I didn't even know it was him until the end of the movie, and I saw the voices, and I was like, that wasn't him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say he says one word a lot on a show we just talked about.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is it Liev Schreiber?
Liev Schreiber voices Wilson Fisk, as he does it. He does it in a way that you don't hear Ray Donovan. It's a great voice work. Jake Johnson, who's very well known for, what was the movie? With the show with Zoe Deschanel, where she plays the
New Girl.
New Girl. He's on that
Never
show. He's a funny guy. He gives a lot of good work here as Peter Parker. If you don't like Spider-Man, but you're still looking for that first great Spider-Man movie, this is it.
I'm writing a screenplway for those people you just mentioned.
Here it comes.
And in it, Peter Parker picks a peck of pickled peppers.
I'll see that.
That's it.
And they see him doing it, and they go, hey, stop it. That's Peter Piper's job.
Oh.
And he goes, yeah, but I'm Spider-Man. That's as far as I've gotten.
The plot thickens.
Thank you, Lyman. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so the Spider-Man thing, how many ARDs? We eventually have to get to the ARDs.
I want to do three. It's a solid three, even if you don't.
And what's
like
the name of it?
It's a Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It's animated.
Three. Here they come. Three ARDs.
All right, Dean.
Anything else?
I want to discuss the late Penny Marshall.
Can we
talk
to Paul
today?
Paul's been.
Go ahead.
Paul may have a contribution. Paul, welcome to 590 The Fan. Merry Christmas. What do you have?
Merry Christmas to you and all your staff.
All right.
I'm perplexed about something.
Okay.
Last week I heard one of your Window World commercials.
Oh, this is not about movies or TV?
No, it's about your Window World people.
Okay, go ahead.
And then I heard the same commercial yesterday where you said, Window World, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues.
Correct.
I'm kind of perplexed. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Here's
the deal. You'll hear Ram, the official truck of the... What it means, I think, is anytime they do that official thing, like Chevy, the official truck, they pay for that. In other words, they pay a price to become the official. It doesn't mean that everybody in the NFL drives the... And I think the preferred window, I think it's a technical thing. I think they can't say official for some legal reason, but they say preferred because I'm sure they pay a price to the St. Louis Blues, and the Blues agree that for that price, we will be known as... You can be known as the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. It has to do with just monetary support for the Blues. That's it.
Oh, I'm under the impression that all the Blues, when they bought their houses here in St. Louis, had all their windows ripped out and provided by Window World.
And if that happened, trust me, they would tell me, hey, tell everybody that all the players had their windows ripped out. No. It just means that first of all, it means the Window World owners, Jim and John, are huge Blues fans. All right? And they wanted to jump in and have some connection with the Blues, and the Blues like them, and they like the Blues, and they came to an agreement, and now they're the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. It just means they're huge Blues supporters. That's really what it means.
Oh, so the St. Louis Blues, all the players, aren't going around telling people, yes, buy Window World windows. I prefer them.
I would imagine if they have an opportunity, yes, they would support Window World and say, hey, if you get a chance, buy those windows. Because, again, Window World supports the Blues. And I'm sure they've told the players that, no, you don't have to have your windows replaced, but if you get an opportunity and somebody mentions them, yeah, say something positive about them because they support us. That's it.
Well, I might think of having Window World come out and change all my windows out also.
Listen, and then we can say the preferred window of Paul.
Yeah.
Paul and the St. Louis Blues.
That would look good on a business, my business card, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah, especially if you got a client that's a Blues fan. Yes, it would.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. Let's go to Bill. He may have a movie or TV contribution. Bill, welcome to 590 The Fan. Merry Christmas. What do you got?
Well, thanks, Frank. Merry Christmas and AM and PM.
There you go.
Hey, I talked to you guys last week. I talked to Dan last week, and he was about to go see Once Upon a Deadpool. And I missed the first part of the segment, so I'm not sure if he...
What was the movie?
Once Upon it was kind of one of those sneaky additions. It was Deadpool 2 came out in July, and I guess they had enough footage and to put out a Christmas film called Once Upon a Deadpool. But
so, Bill, what is it you want to know? Was it good or no good, or is that what you want to know?
No, I saw it.
Oh.
I went the same night he did.
Well, what did you think in a nutshell? Well, four ARDs,
well,
four
a
being...
Nutshell, in a nutshell, mainly the big thing was it's marketing-wise, it's brilliant because the overhead had to be almost nothing because basically you're watching Deadpool 2 again.
Yeah.
Did
you like it?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. It reminded me how funny I thought Deadpool 2 was.
Okay, so ARDs, 4 being the best, would you give it 4?
I'd give it 3.
All right, give Bill 3 ARDs for...
All right, Dan. All right, Dan. All right, Dan.
All right, Bill. Hey, thank you for the call.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
What Dan think?
No,
Dan,
what
do you think?
You know, for me, it didn't really add much because, you know, it's basically... Deadpool 2, and it's Deadpool kidnapping Fred Savage and taping him to a bed and reading him the story of Deadpool 2. And for me, it was like watching the sequel again. So it didn't add much for me because they didn't put much. I thought there was going to be more in there that was original and new. But a portion of the proceeds went to Cancer Foundation. And it's, I guess if you want to watch Deadpool 2 on the big screen again, PG-13 eyes, basically taking all the F words out. It was kind of enjoyable, but for me, it was something that probably could have been best watched at home on a special feature on a Blu-ray.
All right, Bill.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for the call.
All right, guys.
Merry Christmas. All right, we're coming up on it because Mike Evans thinks he wants to jump in here at 4:50 because he's not available at the 5 o'clock hour because he's on a plane or something. So what do we wrap up with? What else do you have? Do you have anything else on TV? Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, again, Amazon. I know not everybody has Amazon Prime. I cannot say enough. Dan turned me on to this thing, Dan Strauss. This is a fantastic production. It's something I never expected to like. It's got everything in it that I don't like. It looks like a play, a stage play. The costuming is back in the 50s, like 1959. It is brilliant. Matt Weiner, who did Mad Men, did it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'll put another shout-out for the Kaminsky Method. I watched it again with my wife, Michael Douglas and Alan Arkin. It's hilarious.
We watched it.
I think it's funny. I mean, it's 8 episodes, 30-minute episodes. It's funny. It's got a lot of good Hollywood stuff in there.
It's two aging guys.
Two aging guys making fun of each other, right. Essentially. But I also want to say something about Penny Marshall. She died today, and did some great movies, including, I mean, she did Big, Awakenings.
Yeah, that's right.
But... my favorite film is A League of Their Own. Tom Hanks.
Oh, my goodness.
One of his most underrated roles is Jimmy Dugan.
Penny Marshall was much better as a director than as a co-star of that Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah,
she was really good.
She was really good
behind the camera. Genetic because her brother, Gary Marshall, maybe it's in the genes.
And again, she did a documentary that's coming out next year, but other than that, she hasn't worked in 9 years.
And she wasn't that old. What, Dan? 70?
75.
Wow.
75, but man, A League of Their Own, the speech where he tells Gina Davis about, you know, it's the hard that makes it great. And that can play. That's like the Rocky speech where he talks to his son about, you know, the adversity of life. That's a great speech.
And now a scene from A League of Their Own. There's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
And remember, hit the cutoff or Tom Hanks will yell at you. That's basically the moral of the story. Evelyn!
What happened to Gina Davis that we don't see her?
I think I read an article a couple years ago. She just kind of decided to
focus
more
on her
family.
Is it Gina or Gina? Is it Gina Davis? How do you pronounce it?
Gina.
I think it's Gina. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That confuses me because sometimes like G-I-N-A, like angina, it's Gina.
She did a show. She did a TV show.
Huh?
She spells her name with two E's. Not an
E's.
Oh, she does?
Gina Davis is G-E-E-N-A.
Oh, okay. Davis. I thought it was G-E-E-N-A. Okay, well, that settles it. Yeah. Then it is Gina, not Gina.
She did a TV show 2 years ago, but other than that, she does not work anymore. She just kind of gave it up. I mean, I guess she's still available to work, but that's probably one of her best
There roles. Are a handful of people who do that. They just walk away from showbiz.
Sean Connery and Gene Hackman, they have not worked in years.
Well, they're also 80, whatever.
But look at Clint Eastwood. 88. Yeah. And they asked him about, you know, Redford said this, that movie, The Old Man, The Gun, was going to be his last movie. And they asked Eastwood, and he said, no, I'm going to keep working, man. The guy, he's going to have something else coming out in another 5 months.
I asked Sean Connery yesterday. I said, you know, why don't you work anymore? I'll tell you what he said. I don't work anymore because I don't have to.
Riveting.
Great interview.
Riveting. I wish he did work, though. He's a great talent. I wish those two would do a movie together called This Is Why We Stopped Acting. Just let them write the script. I miss both those guys.
It'd be great. Somebody would do a movie about a retirement home.
Yeah.
And it's all the older. It's Connery and it's Eastwood.
It's documentary footage.
Robert Redford. Yeah. Oh, speaking of that. This thing that is out in very limited release about World War One.
Yeah.
Have you seen this? This is all the old black and white. What's his name? Peter, the director.
Peter Jackson.
Yes.
And it's about the Great War.
What he has done is absolutely brilliant. He's taken this World War One footage.
I think it's tonight. I think there's a one-time screening tonight, December 17th.
At the Tivoli or one of those theaters.
Title is what they, what they won't, it's a great title. And I think it's a very
I believe it's We Won't Forget Them.
Yeah.
We Won't Forget Them.
It's very limited. Peter Jackson took old footage and put some color into
it. Goodness.
He basically made it seem like you're watching them live.
Yes. And the voices narrating it are the actual people in World War recorded 50 years ago in interviews.
And I'm sure the studio said, hey, why don't we get actors to reinvent the roles? He's like, no, I'm going to get the real footage.
This thing looks fantastic. And why is something like that on such a limited release? Why?
Again, the Coldplay documentary did the same thing. One day only.
Yeah, but Coldplay has a much more, I would think, limited audience than these Peter actual Jackson. World War One.
I imagine this is going to get a little bit of a teaser this month, and they'll release it next month worldwide.
And a lot of TV viewers.
They're going to have to. Peter Jackson did Lord of the Rings. He's going to have to do it more.
All right, I'm sorry we have to step aside from Mike Evans. I apologize for him, because he wouldn't. And we will see you. No, we won't. We won't see you for two more weeks.
2 weeks.
We'll be next Tuesday or the following Tuesday.
So I just wanted to correct myself. That Peter Jackson documentary is called They Shall Not Grow Old.
There you go.
If anybody wants to Google it.
Again, the Great War footage remastered. It looks amazing.
It's unbelievable. All right. If you like Dan Buffa, be sure to let the Window World people know. If you don't like him, don't say anything. Window World is the sponsor of this segment, the number one selling replacement window. In the United States, and the preferred window of Paul and the St. Louis Blues. How about that? WindowWorldSt.Louis.com for more. Give it up to Dan Buff, everybody.
Thank you, Dan.
Have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Well, I guess we just jump right into the... I need to talk about Window World for a second. We already did, but let me just remind people, before we get to Mike Evans, it is the preferred window of St. Louis Blues and Paul. Soon, Paul, because he's going to redo all his windows, he said. And probably in the spring, me for French doors that I'm going to have. That's right. They do entry doors, too. There are several reasons they became number one as quickly as they did. And they're kind of the reasons most successful businesses are successful. Give your money's worth. Value. Good housekeeping seal of approval. Unbelievable lifetime warranty. And you just go down the line. 18 months financing, same as cash with approved credit, of course. And there's not much more you need to know. It's not a high-tech product. It's not electronic. It doesn't need battery. It's a window. But it's a good window. Solid window. And unless you're looking to buy something fancy and tell your friends, ooh, we paid $700 a window, then this is not for you. Otherwise, most of you, this is your window. Don't, just do us a favor, don't replace your windows without talking to Window World. That's all we ask. You just include them and tell them your AM and the PM. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com if you want to know more. Here we go. Normally we don't hear this tone. 445, 448, but he's busy. Traveling. Mike Evans is brought to you by Annie Guns. Annie Guns is preparing the beef tenderloin for our whole family. We do that every year. We pick it up, and it is beyond belief. They're closed only on Monday, as is the next-door neighbor. Same ownership, the Smokehouse Market. When you go to dinner at Annie Gunn's, for goodness sakes, right before or right after, step next door to the Smokehouse Market. You've just entered a whole different world that you didn't know existed of great products. All kinds of products. Fresh meats and fish and condiments, and you'll see. Annie Gunn's and the Smokehouse Market. They're both east of all the other stuff in Chesterfield Valley. As I said, closed only on Monday. And you do need reservations for Annie Gunn's. Gift cards are a great idea because they sell thousands every year. Please give it up for Mike Evans. So where are you? Holy cow. Where are you right now?
Just getting ready to go to the airport.
Oh, because you're still in Dallas. Okay. Now, tomorrow will you be...
I'm leaving the planet. I'm leaving the planet, homie.
I know. You'll be with us tomorrow, right?
Yeah, from Washington, D.C.
Ooh, what's going on there? Why are you going there?
I have a daughter lives
there. That's right.
I always like to go talk to a couple of senators that are friends of mine.
Ooh, and, name dropper.
Yeah.
Name dropper. Oh. All right, what's going on?
Hey, this week's pop quiz theme is all about funny quotes from celebrities today. Who said, quote, "I think gay marriage should be between a man and a woman."
This had to be a blonde.
Naomi Campbell.
Michael Jackson.
Paris Hilton. Almost Schwarzenegger. Answer in a minute.
What the heck?
Love Nugget. Everybody's talking about it, but we've got to talk about it. How about that? 1976, a 16-year-old girl out with her parents saw 41-year-old Woody Allen in a restaurant, quietly slipped Woody Allen her phone number on a napkin. Within a month, Woody called the 16-year-old girl, and the two began a sexual relationship that lasted 8 years. She holds no grudges, said it was a fine part of her life. However,
and there's always a however in life.
Some will ask, isn't there a statute? Was there a statute of limitations here? I don't know, but she has the proof. She's gone public. She's writing a book. Woody does not has not said that it's wrong. She said that her and Woody are the ones that she helped do the movie Manhattan, which was basically, she said, about their lives together when she was 16 and. And they were basically living off and on together.
All right, if ever there was a case that women like money and power, and it has nothing to do with looks, it's this one. Woody Allen. Is there a less attractive guy, maybe Harvey Weinstein, in Hollywood? The answer is no.
What I don't understand is Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, Les Moonves, what were the hashtag MeToo people about Woody Allen?
Thank you. Yes. There's some special list he's on where, you know, they don't touch him. And then not only this gal, wasn't it like a 13-year-old Mia Farrow's daughter? What was that deal where that other...
Oh, yeah, his adopted daughter he married.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
She was younger, even. Wow.
Moving news. Have you seen Bohemian Rhapsody yet?
Twice in this current run at the theater. I had to see the second time, yes.
Well, Rami Malek, who's been nominated for a Golden Globe and probably will be nominated for an Oscar as well as his role as Freddie Mercury, says that he watched all of Freddie Mercury's concerts but couldn't really, quote, feel Freddie's inner soul, end quote. So he then concentrated on Freddie's songs, and through the words, reading the lyrics of the songs that he wrote over and over again, he said he felt like he was channeling Freddie when he acted. He certainly, you know, He was Freddie Mercury in that movie.
I agree. Deserves an Oscar.
I agree. Talk about range in an actor. I really love this. Benicio del Toro, who is currently in the TV series Escape from Demi Moore. Have you seen that?
Well, here. You said Escape from Demi Moore. Escape at Denimora.
Denimora.
Yeah. And it's funny to me that the name is Escape at, not from. It should be from. But it's Escape at.
You're right.
I like yours better. Escape from Demi Moore. I like that. Yes, I'm right up to speed here. Watch it every week.
So, I mean, he's really, really good at this, and he plays a really evil, shady guy.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is his very next project, he plays Swiper in Dora the Explorer. The kid show.
Completely different. This is a guy who can look in the camera and scare the daylights out of you. He's frightening looking.
By the way, that Denimora.
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Denimora.
Demi Moore.
No, don't do that. Denimora. Yeah.
the guy that was in the cell, his character was the cell that he's in.
Yeah, Sweat. His last name is Sweat. It was Matt and Sweat were the two characters. And it's Dana Moore. I got to correct myself.
That cell, at one time, was occupied by Lucky Luciano.
Whoa!
How's that for a little scoopage?
Wow.
Odds and Ends, Charles Manson's alleged grandson, and Charles Manson's 30-year-long pen pal will be in court tomorrow. They're still fighting over Charles Manson's estate.
What estate? What a stake. The shiv that he was trying to make?
No, I think he's one of those crazy people that has been making, songs, and he's got artwork in his jail cell that people sneak out and sell. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff.
Hey, by the way, did you ever see any of the paintings of that character, Rick Matt, one of the two Dana Moore guys? You see any of his paintings? He could really paint. Yeah, he could paint, man.
I think the show is really good. Now, tell you what, Patricia Arquette deserves a Golden Globe nomination.
Would you buy a painting done by a murderer?
No.
Yeah.
There are people who do and pay a lot for it. You go, hey, what's that? Well, hanging on your wall. Ted Bundy painted that after he killed 30 people.
Wayne Gacy painted that.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy painted that for a couple of kids. I don't know the answer to that if I would. I don't think I would.
I wouldn't.
Yeah. I don't know. Not in.
But you're not giving them money. They're dead. I mean, it's history. I don't know.
But just the same. I mean, I would think there's something evil about that whole thing.
Well, a lot of people would agree with that.
Early odds to win Best Actress Oscar, according to Vegas, Lady Gaga. Stars Born, 3-1. Margot Robbie, Queen of Scots, 4-1. Nicole Kidman. Destroyer 6-1. Emily Blunt. Mary Poppins 7-1. Sienna Miller. American Woman 9-1. Most wanted gig in Hollywood, Super Bowl halftime show. Most unwanted gig in Hollywood, the Oscar host.
Boy.
And finally, on the broadcast.
I think whoever gets the hosting job for the Oscars is going to have a huge audience. Just because of all of this fallout. They'll be curious to see. Because it's obviously not going to be anybody like Billy Crystal or somebody, huge. I think a lot of people would jump at it because it's a big spotlight. It's a big stage.
You know who'd be good?
Who?
Frank O'Pinion.
Oh, stop it. Okay, I'll do it.
All right. Who said, quote, "I think a gay marriage should be between a man and a woman."
That's
Paris Hilton.
Michael Jackson.
Naomi Campbell or Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Gropinator?
I'm going to go with Paris Hilton.
I was going to go Paris Hilton.
I'll say Bill Cleveland.
No, he's not one of the choices.
Oh, Michael Jackson.
I think we're supposed to say Paris Hilton because she kind of
was
a ditzy idiot. I'm going to go Schwarzenegger.
Former governor of California, the Gropinator, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Talking about from Washington, D.C.,
Who won? Who won?
You.
Oh, yeah, me. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that was a terrible choice. He always does that, though. He messes up the names of things a lot. Escape from Demi Moore. No.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't escape from her. Are you kidding?
Frank, I just want you to know, I look up the answer every time he's on, and I text Limey and Dan not to answer that in the hope that you'll get it and win. I'm just letting you know.
Sure you do.
Yeah,
Merry Christmas.
What was it he messed up the other day? He messed up something the other day. I mean, it was embarrassingly wrong. And I almost came back and said, by the way, Mike didn't realize the name. But he does that a lot. That's what makes him interesting, I guess.
Well, he's interesting as
well. That's true, so it's a good excuse. Mike Evans, brought to you by Annie Guns Restaurant. I bought a gift card today from Annie Guns, and the recipient, I think, is going to be very, very happy.
Thank you, Frank.
Well, there goes the surprise. There it goes. No, it's not even worth doing.
Maybe jump the gun.
Annie Guns is next door to the other great business owned by the same great proprietors, the Smokehouse Market. They're east of all the other stuff in Chesterfield Valley. There's a lot of stuff in Chesterfield Valley. And they're closed only on Mondays. Need reservations for dinner at Annie Guns? You do. And that's it. That's all you need to know. Annie Guns and the Smokehouse Market. Mike Evans will not be with us in the 5 o'clock hour, so I'm going to tell you a really great story during the time he would have been on. It's a story I heard this morning. It's a true story. I think you'll like it. So don't go anywhere because the one and only Tim Woodburn is up right after the national news with the local news, and then it's Playhouse time. It's 5 o'clock at 590, The Fan.
This is KM Jans, and you're listening to 5-9 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. A federal judge is delaying the sentence hearing for former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. NBC legal analyst Glenn Kirshner recounts the judge's decision and words today in court.
I cannot hide my disgust or my disdain for the crimes you committed. At that point, it got very somber in the room.
Flynn was due to be sentenced for lying to the FBI last year about his contacts with Russian officials in the aftermath of the 2016 campaign. U.S.